Welcome to the Dialogue Journal podcast. I am Carolyn Klein, and in this episode, we're giving you a preview of the upcoming Spring 2026 issue, which is especially meaningful to me because it is the first issue compiled and co-edited by Margaret Olsen Hemming and myself. The theme of the issue is queer Mormon bodies, belonging, and identity. The inspiration for this issue reaches back a little over a decade to November 2015, when the LDS Church issued what has become known as the exclusion policy. The moment reshaped countless lives and continues to reverberate through Mormon communities. 10 years later, we wanted to create space for reflection and analysis, historical, theological, deeply personal, on what that policy and other LDS teachings on queer members and queer identity reveal about bodies, authority, revelation, and just that poignant question of belonging. So let's start off with our academic articles. Margaret, would you tell us a little bit about Taylor Petrie's article?
Yes, we feel really lucky to have this piece by Taylor, who has done so much work on queer issues in Mormonism. In his article, History and Theology of Trans and Non-Binary Identity in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, he dives into one of the most contested questions in contemporary Latter-day Saint life. What does LDS theology actually say about transgender and non-binary identities? As church policies shift and cultural debates intensify, Petrie traces the history, doctrine, and lived experiences shaping this moment, revealing a far more complex and unsettled landscape than many assume. And this is the kind of careful scholarship that opens space for deeper, braver conversations about gender and faith.
Thank you. Yes. And I am also really excited about our other research article, which is by Kate Davis. And the title is Heavenly Bodies, Mormon Male Homoerotics in the Sacred Art of Arnold Freeberg. And this is a really fun article. I expect many of you listeners will enjoy this one. This is an article where Davis reexamines Arnold Freeberg's iconic Book of Mormon paintings. And she's arguing that their hypermuscular bodies helped to construct a 20th century ideal of muscular Mormon masculinity. And she argues that these images, which are devotional, they actually also have this homoerotic energy to them. And so it's a wonderful just exploration of a different way of viewing these Arnold Freeberg images that have been so iconic for so many of us. Let's now talk about the round table, which consists of five scholars and community members thinking about and reflecting on that 2015 policy. So Margaret, I'll throw that to you.
Yeah, we have this amazing group, and we were lucky enough that each author came at it from their own both personal experiences and their academic backgrounds. So we got a really nice mix of both sort of history and culture and lived experience. So Makoto Hunter reflects on the connections she sees between queerness and polygamy. And she does it with her, you know, typical grace and compassion and just beautiful writing. It's a super moving, thoughtful piece. Ben Park puts the 2015 policy in context of older church history and how the church reacted to children of polygamists in the past. And then Nathan Kitchen, who is the former president of Affirmation, gives his on-the-ground witness of what happened within the Mormon queer community in the lead up to, and then the fallout of the policy. Then we also have Carrie Prey, who reflects on her own personal experience as a queer woman who had already left the Mormon Church before the policy was announced, and how this policy affected her family. And then Patrick Mason explores the question of what a community can and should do when prophecy fails. And I really think this is kind of the best thing that dialogue does, of putting people in conversation with one another. And collectively, I think these pieces are very, very moving and very thoughtful, reflection on this 10th anniversary.
Absolutely. Yeah, this roundtable is it's going to be just a standout feature of this issue. Let's move now to personal voices. And Farah, I was wondering if you could tell us what we can look forward to in that section.
Well, following along with the same topic for this issue, we have two pieces from Personal Voices. The first is The November 2015 Policy and Me by David Doyle. In this, he writes about everything from starting off at BYU and having feelings for his good friend, going on a mission. He says, and here's a quote, in 1989, my bishop spoke with me about preparing for a mission. And then went on and instructed him to go home and pray about it. So David Doyle went home and prayed. And then he says, but instead I asked God, do you love me, all of me? Can you love who I am and what I am? Warmth radiated across my body and I heard the words, you are not broken. David goes on and talks about being gay and yet having high callings as the elders presidents, being over the youth, being in state callings. And when the policy came out in 2015, he went and he met with his state president and the young women's president and a bunch of the other church leaders. And he was silently seething as the state president said, we need to be strong. We don't like this necessarily, but we need to be strong. And he goes on and says in his essay that his hands balled into fists, angry at being told to support this policy without having an opportunity to express my thoughts of how this violated the articles of faith because it punishes children for the sins of their parents. David has written a very strong, absolutely insightful piece of manuscript for us. And I just underscore how this is something we should all read. It's really just lovely. Mm-hmm. The second piece that we have coming out in the next issue is Eternal Identity Misunderstood, A Transgender Woman's Journey Through Faith, Revelation, and LDS Policy. And that, of course, is by Lori Lee Hall. Many of you may recognize the name and know the work that she has done for the church in the past. And she, similarly to David Doyle, talks about in her essay being amazed as a peaceful assurance and sensation of joy revealed to me that I'd finally come to accept myself as deity had always known me, just as God had created me to be. I now had knowledge and assurance that my gender, my eternal spiritual identity, was not only acceptable to God, but was previously known by God. And that mattered enough that heaven felt joy over me catching up to this knowledge. Lori's piece is particularly joyful, and both are wonderful. And I just know that our readers are going to really, really feel moved and find a lot of insight in these.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, both of those sound so poignant. So thanks, Farah. Let's now move to poetry. And Teresa, could you tell us what we have to look forward to?
Absolutely. Okay, so for this issue, we have two stellar poets. The first one is Sadie Marie Hutchings, and her poem is Holy Spin Room. In this, she draws on authenticity, and she pulls the reader close. For example, part of the poem reads, I'm not interested in being an example of how to do this right. And then later on, towards the end of the poem, in the third to the last stanza, Forgive me if I am angry. I am just trying to understand the shape of the miracles I have been given. So I love that poem so much. It's very personal poem. The second poem is by Makoto Hunter, and it's Sam's Finest Students. This one, Hunter has the invitation to conversation with neighbors, American citizens, and families. And she is inviting everyone to the table to consider the LGBTQ experience. She reflects on internal as well as external struggles, inclusion as well as exclusion, and what that looks like. Her voice is very strong, and I just think everyone's going to really enjoy both of these poems.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Teresa. I appreciate that. Let's go to book reviews. And Nicholas Schrum, could you tell us a little bit about what is going to be in that section?
Yeah, so we have one nonfiction academic book review that, again, is very timely and works with this issue very well. It's a review of Taylor Petrie's The Queering Kinship in the Mormon Cosmos, which was published in 2024 with the University of North Carolina Press. And the review is by Professor Rebecca L. Davis, who is a professor of history, as well as a professor of women and gender studies at the University of Delaware, and recently also came out with a fabulous book, Fierce Desires, that has gotten a lot of praise. And so excellent person to be reviewing this book. Davis offers a lot of really good overview of the text that Petrie provides, really good, insightful comments on the ironies that Petrie is able to bring out in how, for example, that a tradition that's recently become an outspoken critic of marriage equality for same-sex couples, LGBTQ rights, and modern feminism, Petrie finds that this quote has a quote, theological tradition ripe for non-heteronormative interpretations. It is a really fabulous book, and I think that Davis does a really good job providing an overview and some really helpful comments. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Nicholas. And we also have Andrew Hall, who is our fabulous book review editor in charge of literature and memoir.
Hi, this is Andrew Hall, the literature book review editor at Dialogue. And I'm here to tell you about the book reviews that appear in the spring 2026 issue. So this is a special issue all about LGBTQ issues. And the four book reviews are also books that deal with LGBTQ themes. And you already heard about the first one, Taylor Petrie's book, Queering Kinship in the Mormon Cosmos, which is an academic study. The three books I'm going to tell you about are all more personal books, either memoirs or personal essay collections. The first one is Nathan Kitchen's The Bows of Love, Navigating the Queer Latter-day Saint Experience During an Ongoing Restoration, which is reviewed by Ben Schlatty. So Kitchen is a gay Latter-day Saint, who has been a leader in the Affirmation Group, a group that helps LGBTQ members and helping them and saving lives, providing hope through their work of community building. And our reviewer, Ben Schlatty, says it's a great book, that this is a very important person who's doing important work, and that it's a rich and wise memoir, kind of going through the different periods of the way the church has dealt with its LGBTQ members, you know, what attitude, what kind of advice it gave to them, and different, which has changed over time. And so Kitchen talks about these different periods that he himself experienced and the effect it's had on people. So Ben says it's a very rich and wise memoir, although a little long. Then we have Scott Russell Morris's Points of Tangency, which is a collection of personal essays. And it's reviewed by Chad Curtis. So this Scott Russell Morris is a queer Mormon who has decided to live in a mixed orientation marriage. He's married a woman and is happy in that marriage. And then this book is a collection of essays, many of them about his marriage and about his choices, about being gay and Mormon and married to a woman, and the difficulties in that, but the reasons behind those choices and how he struggles to make it work. And he is an academic essayist. So he teaches at a university about personal essay. And so this collection of his own personal essays are very kind of quick shots, quick little moments, often going off. It's called points of tangency. And he's often going on different tangents. Very funny things. And the reviewers, Chad Curtis, appreciated it a lot. Chad says he went into this review with some trepidation because it hit very close to home. Chad is also a queer Mormon in a mixed orientation marriage. But he didn't want this to be a how-to book. He's very concerned about people saying, you know, that this is the thing that queer people should do, which neither the author nor the reviewer says this is, you know, this is the way for everybody. But, you know, this is a way that has worked for both the author and the reviewer. And Chad says, through many painful experiences and deep disagreements with the church teachings and policies, Morris repeatedly demonstrates that he believes in God, family, and the power of love. And he's very positive about this memoir as a good read and a very fun read as well. And then the last one is a memoir by Lori Lee Hall, Dictates of Conscience, From Mormon High Priest to My New Life as a Woman, reviewed by Dan Witherspoon. And Lori Lee Hall is a transgender woman who was a high priest in the church and an architect for the church, and then decided to come out a few years ago as a trans person. And Dan speaks very highly of this memoir. That is a very well-written, beautiful piece, saying some very important things. Okay, enjoy. I hope that you find these books and enjoy your reading.
Let's go to Margaret Olson Hemming, who will tell us about the sermon that we have featured in this issue, as well as the art note that was written by our art editor, Amanda Beardsley.
Yeah, so for our From the Pulpit, we have a piece that begins with the image of a colorblind niece who sees the world differently. And this powerful sermon reimagines gender through the lens of eternal progression and progressing in a, like, seeing the world in different ways. Blending scripture, personal experience, and theological reflection, Evan Sharley invites listeners to see gender not as a rigid binary, but as part of God's dynamic creation. And then we also have a piece by our art editor, Amanda Beardsley, that is called From Protest Poster to Meme, The Visual Language of Queer Dissent at BYU. Amanda took images of posters from protests at BYU in 2019 and 2020 and examined those posters as visual language. She looks at this curious but powerful space between traditional activist art and internet culture, and talks about sort of the history of protest art, how fast-paced it is, and how it has adopted images from the internet to create a different kind of communication through images that people understand through memes. Amanda is incredibly smart. She brings in things like Atelier Populaire, a workshop of Parisian students and workers during the 1968 uprisings in France. And this is the kind of smart article that makes you feel intelligent just by reading it and feeling like you're in conversation with her. I'm also really excited about this article and our issue in general because all of the images will be in color. So you can see the art that Amanda discusses, this protest art in color, and you can also, read Kate Davis's piece, which she talks about art, and all of it will be just so much more visually stunning on the page. So we hope that you will subscribe to get in your mailbox just to see that really stunning work on printed in dialogue.
Thank you, Margaret. That is a terrific ending. I'm glad you mentioned the color, and it is going to be really, really stunning on paper. So that is it for this preview episode. We are really excited about this issue, and we hope that you enjoy it. Thank you.
Greetings. My name is Rebecca DeSchweinitz, and I'm thrilled to serve as a board member at the Dialogue Foundation and as one of the hosts of Dialogue Gospel Study. In each episode, which we record live the second and fourth Sunday of every month, we welcome esteemed speakers from a variety of backgrounds to share their insights and perspectives on the Come Follow Me lessons. Our aim is to spark meaningful conversations about the scriptures, to connect them to our personal experiences and to our understandings and explorations of the gospel. To stay in the loop with our upcoming lessons and this opportunity to engage with Mormon thought, culture, and belief, be sure to visit dialoguejournal.com and sign up for our newsletter. By doing so, you'll receive updates and timely links to join our live stream lessons. Additionally, you can catch up on our past guests and episodes by subscribing to Dialogue Journal on YouTube, Facebook, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dialogue Podcast Network.